There are many beautiful images in the scriptures of heaven, and tonight we get to take a look at one in Isaiah 35 about a holy highway, a highway of the redeemed, as Isaiah puts it. And this beautiful description shows people moving toward God's promises, moving toward fulfillment and salvation in the Lord. Before we actually look at the text, I'd like to discuss the ancient Roman roads. The Romans were quite fantastic about building roads in their empire. And at one time, there was actually 2.5 million miles of roads, if you can imagine this. They would use huge flat stones, somewhat similar to the way in gardens or walkways you might see paving stones, where they're flat and interlaid like so, and make a very rugged, durable surface. Some of the ancient Roman roads are still in use today. Well, these roads were important for transport of products and for the Roman army to traverse the countryside on. It was also instrumental in bringing different cultures to the ancient empires. And I kind of wonder, because Isaiah was about 750 BC, I kind of wonder if he might have had in mind some fantastic road that would have been somewhat like the Roman roads of the day. You know, if we were to think ahead and kind of conjure up in our mind a concept of a future highway that would travel so freely and beautifully and people would have no difficulties on it, we might today come up with some kind of a concept of a highway in the sky, you know, maybe with people with their personal air machines or something in 100 years. Who knows? But in Isaiah's day, thinking forward, maybe he had in mind something similar to Roman roads, nice and smooth and so wonderful to travel on by foot or by cart, you know. And so he's talking about a beautiful road that God had designed that only the redeemed, only the saved would travel on. When I consider the Bible and what it says about roads, one of the first things that comes to my mind is Jesus, when he's talking about the fact that bad things can happen on roads. And that's one of the reasons why people traveled in groups. Oftentimes, you know, there were like caravans or groupings of people. And in fact, you recall that when Abraham, it was Jacob, sending his sons to Egypt in order to buy grain, Jacob was like, you all must go together for what? For protection, for safety en route to Egypt. See, you had to have numbers and you had to have safety because there were robbers and people of ill intent that might try to attack you on these roads. You remember Jesus in the Gospels taught about a parable about the man who was attacked on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he was left for dead, and Jesus used that as an illustration of the great compassion of the Good Samaritan in that instance. So the roads could be dicey things. They weren't guaranteed to be safe. And in fact, even in modern cultures like ours, you have to play it safe at times. One of the reasons why we are coordinating flights for this trip to Guatemala to get there and to get on the road before 1 o'clock, 1:30 during the day is because it's a much safer endeavor in the countryside to travel to your destination while it's daylight. It's a lot better in case you have a breakdown or in case you're traveling through villages. It's sensible to travel during the day. It makes life a whole lot easier and safer. So that is still considered to be an important thing. The road you're traveling, the safety of it, things like that. So the concept of Isaiah discussing the road for the redeemed, the highway of the holy ones, is really a timeless concept. So let's take a look at this in Isaiah 35, starting at verse 3. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Why the people with quaking knees and fearful hearts and things like this? Because Isaiah was a prophet that was talking about the judgment of God also. And against the northern kingdom of Israel, God was going to judge it and condemn it. The people had turned to such idolatry and ungodliness and had strayed from him to the point where they were not able to be rehabilitated. And so the northern kingdom of Israel would be destroyed. And the Assyrians, Isaiah discusses, would come to do in that northern kingdom. The southern kingdom would be saved, Judah. And they would go into exile in Babylonia, but they would travel the road that would return to restoration. So these kind of images became extremely important as God fulfilled that restoration and allowed them to go from people with fearful hearts and weak knees to people that were revitalized again and saw God's deliverance. Okay, so in verse 5, talking about God coming and saving them, then the eyes of the blind, will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped? Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy? Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in that way. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor will any ferocious beast get up on it. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Beautiful, beautiful imagery. Very similar in its scope and its feel to the description Isaiah uses elsewhere of the new heavens and earth and of the restoration where the ox and the lion and the wolf and the lamb will be together and the child will put his hand into the hole of the viper, you know, where it's going to be like Eden where there's no disruption in nature. And then it will talk about a little child will lead them. It's a restoration and a perfect environment for humanity once again. We get that same sense of God's salvation in this chapter in Isaiah 35, only it's a sense of moving to it, of God bringing us on that road of salvation toward that ultimate communion with Him. It's really a pretty theme. Again, thinking about that road of salvation, and now considering how it's portrayed in the Gospels, we think of Jesus and John the Baptist. And John the Baptist saying that the people that want to be on the road to salvation actually have to do a little bit of road construction themselves in their hearts. They need to repent. And I'd like for us to see how John puts this. No doubt he understood Isaiah's discussion of a holy road, a holy highway. And so in Luke chapter 3, on page 1593, if you want to go there, page 1593, Luke discusses the need for repentance and for us to prepare a road for the Lord. And he says in Luke 3, verse 3, he went into all the country around the Jordan preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as is written in the book of the words of Isaiah. See, he is linking up with the theme of the highway in Isaiah. And he says, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight. the rough ways smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation. You know, speaking of those Roman roads, they were famous for their aggressiveness in building roads, and they would take hillsides and lower them, and they would take valleys and fill them in. Nothing would stand in the way of the construction of the Roman roads. And so you can just imagine John speaking to people that understood the construction of the day and telling them that just as the Romans made sure that the road continued on and was prepared for traveling for the king, for the emperor, for the armies, whatever, so also we need to clear the way so that the Lord can come into our hearts, so that he can come to us. We don't want to have any impediments, anything standing in the way for the Lord to come and dwell in our hearts. Beautiful analogy. So it's kind of interesting because Isaiah was talking about a holy highway that people would travel towards salvation. And John was saying, you have to first clear the way and you have to repent of your sins and the wrongs in your life and make the way smooth so the Lord can come to you. So we have both of these things that are highlighted in the scriptures. And in a way, I guess, we'd say the Holy Spirit first works in our heart to get us to pave the way for a good relationship with the Lord, with Jesus, and then Christ in turn, in order to secure our full redemption, our heavenly redemption, is going to pave the way to life everlasting. And he did this through his own suffering and death. So it's beautiful, beautiful. And then tying in with Isaiah, you know, talking about this highway, where in chapter 35, where it says, the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped, the lame leap like a deer, the mute tongue shout for joy. Jesus even shows us that he's paving the way for eternal life for people when he does the very thing that's being talked about here on this holy highway. He heals the blind. He causes the lame to walk. He preaches the good news of the kingdom and casts out demons. And so he's literally going and forging a path for people to follow so that if they follow him, he leads them right into the gates of heaven. So it's awesome. Just as Isaiah said, you know, 700 years before Jesus even came, there would be a holy road, a holy highway. Of course, it was one thing to have the people return to Jerusalem, and that would be a joyous event. And you can see the people celebrating, saying, only God's people are going to come back and get reestablished in the temple and worship the Lord. Well, that's here now. But the ultimate path to eternal life we find in the scriptures is through the Lord Jesus. And he is the one who leads the way on that holy highway, that path to redemption. Amen.